Hello, hello. Here's Marlanka with another episode on Oroville Radio. Today we will hear from Eckhart Tolle. Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. All structures are unstable. Whatever form it takes, the unconscious drive behind ego is to strengthen the image of who I think I am, the phantom self that came into existence when thought, a great blessing as well as a great curse, began to take over and obscured the simple yet profound joy of connectedness with being, the source, God. Whatever behavior the ego manifests, the hidden motivating force is always the same: the need to stand out, be special, be in control, the need for power, for attention, and more. And of course, the need to feel a sense of separation, that is to say, the need for opposition, enemies. The ego always wants something from other people or situations. There's always a hidden agenda, always a sense of not yet enough, of insufficiency and lack that needs to be filled. It uses people and situations to get what it wants. And even when it succeeds, it is never satisfied for long. Often, it is thwarted in its aims. And for the most part, the gap between I want and what is becomes a constant source of upset and anguish. The famous and now classic pop song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction, is the song of the ego. The underlying emotion that governs all the activity of the ego is fear. The fear of being nobody, the fear of non-existence, the fear of death. All its activities are ultimately designed to eliminate this fear. But the most the ego can ever do is to cover it up temporarily with an intimate relationship, a new possession, or winning at this or that. Illusion will never satisfy you. Only the truth of who you are, if realized, will set you free. Why fear? Because the ego arises by identification with form. And deep down it knows that no forms are permanent, that they are all fleeting. So, there is always a sense of insecurity around the ego, even if on the outside it appears confident. As I was walking with a friend through a beautiful nature reserve near Malibu in California, we came upon the ruins of what had once been a country house, destroyed by a fire several decades ago. As we approached the property, long overgrown with trees and all kinds of magnificent plants, there was a sign by the side of the trail, put there by the park authorities. It read, "Danger. All structures are unstable." I said to my friend, "Well, that's a profound sutra, a sacred scripture." And we stood there in awe. Once we realize and accept that all structures, forms, are unstable, even the seemingly solid material ones, peace arises within. This is because the recognition of the impermanence of all forms awakens you to the dimension of the formless within yourself, that which is beyond death. Jesus called it eternal life. There are many subtle but easily overlooked forms of ego that you may observe in other people, and more importantly, in yourself. Remember, the moment you become aware of the ego in yourself, that emerging awareness is who you are beyond ego, the deeper I. The recognition of the false is already the arising of the real. For example, you're about to tell someone the news of what happened. Guess what? You don't know yet? Let me tell you. if you are alert enough, present enough, you may be able to detect a momentary sense of satisfaction within yourself just before imparting the news, even if it is bad news. It is due to the fact that for a very brief moment, there is, in the eyes of the ego, an imbalance in your favor between you and the other person. For that brief moment, you know more than he does. The satisfaction that you feel is of the ego, and that's derived from feeling a stronger sense of self relative to the other person. Even if he or she is the president or the pope, you feel superior in that moment because you know more. Many people are addicted to gossiping partly for this reason. In addition, gossiping often carries an element of malicious criticism and judgment of others. And so it also strengthens the ego through the implied but imagined moral superiority that's there whenever you apply a negative judgment to anyone. If someone has more, knows more, or can do more than I, the ego feels threatened, because the feeling of less diminishes its imagined sense of self relative to the other. It may then try to restore itself by somehow diminishing, criticizing, or belittling the value of the other person's possessions, knowledge, or abilities. Or the ego may shift its strategy, and instead of competing with the other person, it will enhance itself by association with that person, if he or she is important in the eyes of others. The well-known phenomenon of name-dropping, the casual mention of who you know, is part of the ego's strategy of gaining a superior identity in the eyes of others, and therefore in its own eyes through satisfaction with someone important. Now, the bane of being famous in this world is that who you are becomes totally obscured by a collective mental image. Most people you meet want to enhance their own identity, the mental image of who they are, through association with you. They themselves may not know that they're not interested in you at all, but only in strengthening their ultimately fictitious sense of self. They believe that through you, they can be more. They're looking to complete themselves through you, or rather through the mental image they have of you as a famous person, a larger-than-life collected, conceptual identity. This absurd overvaluation of fame is just one of the many manifestations of egoic madness in our world. Some famous people fall into the same era and identify with the collective fiction, the image people and the media have created of them, and they begin to actually see themselves as superior to ordinary mortals. As a result, they become more and more alienated from themselves and others, more and more unhappy, more and more dependent on their continuing popularity. Surrounded only by people who feed their inflated self-image, they become incapable of genuine relationships. Albert Einstein, who was admired as almost superhuman, and whose fate it was to become one of the most famous people on the planet, never identified with the image the collective mind had created of him. He remained humble, egoless. In fact, he spoke of a grotesque contradiction between what people consider to be my achievements and abilities and the reality of who I am and what I'm capable of. This is why it is hard for a famous person to be in a genuine relationship with others. For a genuine relationship is one that is not dominated by the ego with its image-making and self-seeking. In a genuine relationship, there is an outward flow of open, alert attention toward the other person in which there is no wanting whatsoever. That alert attention is presence. Presence is the prerequisite for any authentic relationship. The ego always either wants something, or if it believes there is nothing to get from the other, it's in a state of utter indifference. It doesn't care about you. And so, the three predominant stages of egoic relationships are wanting, thwarted wanting, which turns into anger, resentment, blaming, complaining, and indifference. We'll pause for the moment for today's episode at that point, and we shall continue with the next episode next week. Thank you so much for tuning into Auroville Radio. Bye for now.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.